Did we get the handouts for tonight? I think we have those. By the way, update, I just want to say, did we pass out the handouts? All right, we'll do that now for the notes for tonight. As they're doing that, I want to say thank you for a great offering Sunday, and we'll get the final numbers and let you know what those are on Sunday. You have to be back here on Sunday to get those numbers, okay? And you did a great, great, great job, and we're very thankful for that. And by the way, it's already being put to use. We, in the old building, we already, I think we're in the process already, and we've demoed or ripped out at least five of the rooms that we're working on already. So the choir ready room, the classroom behind the baptistry, we're finishing up the little balcony room, fireside room, and one of the school classrooms. And so we are making progress. That's just in a week. And so we're really excited about getting that project done, getting everything done. Do pray. I think we have a preliminary final inspection tomorrow. And so he'll come in and tell us a few things we have to work on as we're waiting. So that shouldn't take long at all. So thank you for your patience and for your giving. And I'm very, very, very excited. We're picking up where we left off in Proverbs. We're looking at Proverbs from a certain angle, avoidance. Proverbs says a lot about things that we ought to avoid in our life, and we've went over that. We know Proverbs is the book of wisdom and how it applies to our everyday life and how we are to live God's truth. We are on point number 7. This is already lesson 15. Wow, we've been going for a while. We're looking at spending pitfalls. We're looking at finances and what Proverbs says about that. Sometimes people that maybe are not newer Christians or maybe don't understand the Bible don't understand that. It talks about a lot of different areas of life, a lot of practical areas of life. And so it talks very practically about our finances and our possessions and how we can use them correctly and we can use them properly. The point we're gonna look at a few points tonight. You see the other ones there we've already looked at. But we're going to look at a new one. Here it is. We need to avoid the misconception that being rich is tied only to your amount of wealth. When we think of being rich, we only think of what's in the bank. You know, what is your what's your bottom line number? By the way, Brother Rotzina's family, Brother Sin's family is here. I want to. Brother Rotzina's family, raise your hand. Of course, he was running our project early on, and so we are where we are at, due in part a lot to him as well. So we're very, very grateful for him, and it's good to see his family. Make sure you go by and say hi to them. But back to this, we think, you know, how much money do you have in your wallet? How much money do you have in your bank? Where do you live? All those type of things. And so if we see someone has what we consider a great deal, we consider that to be rich. Well, what does Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 22 say? It says, the blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich. Yep. There's a richness far beyond what you own. There's a richness far beyond how much money you make. Amen. There's far more to it. What is being rich? We can answer that by definition. Rich would be having wealth or great possessions, abundantly supplied with resources, right? Having more than we need, that's hard because it seems to the more that you make, the more that you spend. But you know what I'm saying. Having more that you need, being able to get everything that you want within reason. We would say that's rich. But we can't, that's the definition of it, but you can't answer it definitively because it's subjective. You can't look at a person and say, okay, if being rich has to do with a certain, having a certain amount of money or having a certain thing, then define it. What's that number? What's that thing? It's definitive. And so it's from person to person. What one person would consider rich, another person wouldn't consider being rich. And most people who probably are rich don't understand that they are rich. The numbers went up from last time I gave this, but if a household makes a combined salary or income of $40,000 a year, they are richer than 95% of this world. Think about that. The world. That's because we live in America, right? We look at that now, and that wouldn't even be a living wage, if that's the term. You know, you can make... I'd have to do the math in my head, like, you know, that's about as much as you can make working at McDonald's if they let you work 40 hours a week. Now that the governor's cranked up the fast food hourly wage so that if you buy a Big Mac, which I don't suggest, it's probably like closer to $16. Paying that much to poison yourself, I totally do not understand. But the problem is, when we have that mindset of richness, being rich is abundance of resources or money, that's not what it is. Being rich is a mindset. It's a mindset. In other words, being rich isn't necessarily having an abundance over and above what I need. Now, the world would give you that definition, but really, the definition of being rich should be, I have what I need. You understand the difference? Remember, because whatever the number you want in your head, it's relative to people, and it's never enough. I give you this statistic I read several years ago. They did a study, and they asked people, they asked them how much they made, and they said, okay, now, how much would you need to make to be happy? And they found that whether a person was making $20,000, $40,000, $80,000, or $200,000, the number they gave as an answer was always about double what their current income was. Because that's just how we are. A person that says, I need double what I need to be happy, if you got double what you had now, you still wouldn't be happy. Because then you would want more. And so there has to be a mindset, first of all, in the things that we have. Last time we were here a couple weeks ago, we did something with the building last week, but we looked at Asaph. Asaph had a wrong mindset about what it meant to be rich as he looked at wicked people and he saw that they did not love God and everything seemed to go well with them because they lived in a nice place and they had a certain amount of money, and he caused him to almost stumble as a believer. And he said, and he made statements that weren't true. They don't have problems as other men, blah, 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 blah. And he was wrong. And he figured it out once he went to the sanctuary of God. And he saw that blessing, that richness has nothing to do with money. Yeah. Understand this. You can be happy without being rich. That's contentment. And by the way, let me say this. If you're not happy, no matter how much money you have, you're discontent. And a discontent person, because that's a character quality, that is a trait, a discontent person will be discontent no matter what they get. Because discontentment leads to covetousness. I want more. And you look at other people and you compare yourself. By the way, comparing yourself to someone else is a fool's game. Right? People might, they can look down on you because they may not have the amount of money you have, but I guarantee you, if you love God, that you have something that they cannot have. Asaph saw that. We saw that a couple weeks ago. So contentment. Let's be content. So spiritually speaking, as we look at Proverbs, we get a definition of what it means to be rich. It's the blessings of the Lord that make us rich. Right? Being rich is not tied to what I have, understand this, but who I know. Amen. You say, Pastor, what are you saying? You don't want us to make money? No, I want you to be, in a sense, if you have a career, be successful in your career, do the best you can, not at the expense of God, not at the expense of your family, okay, and not at the expense of your character. That shouldn't be your goal. Your goal ought to be the best worker you can be. You ought to be the most diligent person you can be, whether you work at a warehouse or whether you own your own business. The same character qualities apply. And if you have those character qualities, you'll do just fine. God blesses that kind of effort. But quit looking for a number, because that's going to give you frustration. You ought to look for God's blessings. You see, We say this, I don't even know if we mean it. We say that, there are some things in life you just can't put a price tag on. And then we go run for the things that have a price tag. You can't put a price tag on a good marriage. You can't. That's beyond any amount of money you could ever make. You can't put a price tag on a good godly family. You can't put a price tag upon being used by God to do something, to be a blessing and a help to other people. There are just some things that are far more valuable and we'll pay lip service to it, but the fact of the matter is when the rubber hits the road, we really don't mean it. I hope you do in here. Let's not just see the blessings of the Lord only as tangible and financial. Only in America, where we have a Christian doctrine that feeds into this nonsense. It's the prosperity gospel. How many ever heard the prosperity gospel? When I was a brand new believer, I didn't know any better. And so I'd go home and I loved church and I loved preaching and I was getting that and I didn't quite have all my, I didn't quite understand who was what. I didn't quite understand all my doctrine. I kind of had it, but I didn't understand, you know, who was false. And I'd listen to some of these guys. I didn't know. And they were very persuasive. And then their doctrine started to drop. I heard a guy one time, he dropped this verse. 3 John 2, I still remember it. New believer, didn't know any better. 3 John verse 2, it says, Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. And he waxed eloquent about this verse means this. God wants you to be rich, and God wants you to never have an illness. And I'm like, I've never heard that before. It didn't make sense. Even as a new believer, it didn't make sense to me. Okay? And I started looking into it. I'm like, there's a reason it doesn't make sense to me. Because it's foolish. Yep. And it's not true. It's heresy. That's not prosperity. The word prosper there and prosperous is the same word. It means to lead on a successful journey to have success in an issue. In other words, it's not just it's not a word that defines prosperity in terms solely of financial. It's about everything in your life. You can be prosperous if you follow the will of God. You can be prosperous as God blesses the endeavors in your life, and it doesn't have to be attached to a checkbook. Nobody uses checks anymore. I know I have some at the house. I don't use them. Okay? But you know what I'm talking about. And health. You know, God never wants you to be unhealthy, said the evangelist with glasses on. Think about that. God wants you in perfect health. Why are you wearing glasses? Get rid of your glasses. There's a church up in Reading, by where Brother Johnson's church used to be. It's a huge church like that. Huge. And it's heretical on every. They had to shut down their little prophets and healing school during COVID so people didn't get sick. And I'm not saying this, there's no glee, but the pastor who preached you should never get sick, unfortunately, his wife died of cancer. Look, we set ourselves up for a fall when we believe this nonsense. Yeah. That God's blessings only has to be in tangible form. It's in what you drive and all these different things, and it's not true. God's blessings are far more beyond that. If it's about being rich and if it's about never being sick, someone should have told Paul he didn't get the memo. Someone should have told Job. Someone should have told Jacob as he limped around. But because it's a false doctrine. God has so much more for us than just that. One more verse here, we'll move on. Proverbs 22:4. By humility and the fear of the Lord are riches, honor, and life. You know you're rich if you serve God and you love him. You're rich if you put yourself in a place where God can do something in your life, where God can use you. And don't be fooled by what you see, what you should not see on television or on your Instagram or any of that nonsense, where these people are living like the devil and they have everything I'm looking for and they're happy. That's a facade. And one day in their life, it will come out. It will. Next. Oh, I'm sorry. The last little quote there. The important things in life are not found in the temporal anyway. The intemporal things of life. See, we invest our whole life. And by the way, I'm thankful for a church that does not do that. We invest our whole lives only in what's on this earth. And again, I'm not against you. I'm not against, you know, having things you need and God giving you certain things. There's nothing wrong with that. Don't live for that. If God gives you that, that's over the top, right? But we live for that. And so we don't do anything. Everything is invested in what's on this earth. And when we die to get to heaven, we're going to be shocked. All of us will, regardless of how much we sacrifice, we're going to get up there. And I guarantee you the first thought is, I should have done more. I should have invested more in this. Next, we'll do this one, we'll be done. Avoid the negatives that can come with a material mindset. The negatives that come with an eternal mindset, material mindset. In other words, temporal riches can bring more problems than they really do pleasure in our life. It just doesn't work that way. It's not that material things are necessarily wrong. It's when our mindset about those things are wrong that they become wrong. Because then our relationship with them and our attitude towards them are wrong. So we're wrong. And so we don't care about the right things. And so we'll build our priorities based around that wrong mindset. And we'll have, and that will leak out into every area of our life. So be very careful about that. The finishing of the verse there, the blessing of the Lord that maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow with it. Most people would sell their soul to be rich. Ask yourself this question. Is there anything you would be willing to do that's not right for a certain amount of money? Think about it. Because there's some people that would. Would. So well, I wouldn't have the opportunity. Doesn't matter. If you would do it, there's something wrong. We have to have the right. Materialism is a killer. And it's so hard because we live in a country of materials. And so we have to fight it on a regular basis. Solomon gives us more details about the dark side of wealth. Look at Ecclesiastes chapter 5 there in verse 10 to 13. And by the way, if anybody knew about this, look, Solomon could write about marriage because he had a million wives. He could write about wealth because he had all the money in the world. He had anything he ever wanted. Read the book of Ecclesiastes, you'll get a headache because it depressed him. He had everything a person could want. He said, if I want it, I got it. You know, they didn't have CDs or music in those days, so if he heard a song, he just bought the band. You guys live here. When I hear the song, let's go. Anything he saw, I want it, I get it. Women, by the way, that was his downfall later on. Anything. And yet, what did he say in Proverbs chapter 2 and verse, in Ecclesiastes chapter 2 and verse 17? He goes, therefore, I hated life. We'll say, wait a minute, Pat. If I had all this stuff in my life, and I know, you're going to buy us a new church. I've heard that. New Christians will tell you that. Pastor, if I win the lotto, no more offering Sundays. Number one, you have a better chance of getting struck by lightning. And number two, no, you wouldn't. And number three, and I hesitate to say this, we wouldn't take it. Okay? It's not proper money. That didn't go over very well. I hope your numbers don't hit, because don't put me to the test on that. I don't want to be a hypocrite. But Solomon knew. Everything we live for, he said, I got it, and I hate life. Wow. Ecclesiastes chapter 5. Here's what he says about abundance and so forth. He that loveth silver shall not be satisfied with silver. What? Wait. If you love money, by the way, it's the root of all evil, but if you love money to the extent like I have to have it, can I just tell you something? You'll never be satisfied with it. What was it? One of the billionaires, they said, how much more do you need? He goes, it's always going to be $1 more. Yep. That's the mentality. Yes, sir. Nor he that loveth abundance with increase. This is also vanity. Some people, it's like a game. My goal is make more and more and more and more. And again, if you're working, you know, a certain amount of hours, you got a business, you might as well work hard. And if you can make more in that amount of time because you're working hard and you're being honest, go for it. But a person that lives for that, they'll sacrifice their character, they'll sacrifice church, they'll sacrifice their family, anything to attain. But some people, it's like, I want to get more, I want to get more. You won't be satisfied with it. He says, this is empty. Then look, verse 11, you ready? When goods increase, they are increased that eat them. And what good is there to the owners thereof, saving the beholden of them with eyes? He goes, if you get a lot more money, you know what happens? There's a lot of, here's the word, is it hangers on? Right? It's like people are just hanging on. I was listening years ago, I was listening to some sports station, and they were interviewing Reggie Bush. I think it was Reggie Bush. And they asked him, they actually asked him about this. What about, you know, when you started making money and all this, what happened? And, you know, with friends and so forth, he goes, I got a serious reality check. He goes, when one of my best friends, I found out he was stealing from me. He goes, that opened my eyes. I know, he was just around him for what he could get. But see, we think the more we have, the better off we are, but there's going to be a lot more people nipping at your heels, right? That's just how it is. And then with the abundance you have, it's like, what good is it? You're just looking at it. Verse 12, the sleep of a laboring man is sweet, unless it's in church, okay? We don't do that. Whether he eat little or much, but the abundance of the rich will not suffer him to sleep. So what he's saying is this, here's a guy, he just goes to work, he works hard, he makes his money, and man, he goes home at night with a clear conscience, with his family, everything, and man, he just sleeps. Everything's sweet. He goes, but people that are living for prosperity, people that their whole life is tied up in what they own and what they have a hard time sleeping. They've always got problems or things on their mind. By the way, we're not talking about somebody who's spinning theory. He lived it. Verse 13, there is a sore evil which I have seen under the sun, namely, riches kept for the owners thereof, what's those last three words? To their hurt. To their hurt. It doesn't mean if God blesses you with finances, if you handle them in a biblical way, you have a biblical mindset, and you allow God to let you use it for something of eternal value, there's nothing wrong with that. But if you do it on the opposite end, there's just a curse kind of that comes with that mentality. What did Matthew say? Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon the earth where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through or steal. By the way, the thieves thing is getting worse and worse now that the police don't arrest them. What is it? You can up to $1,000 and they don't even care? What kind of nonsense is that? It makes you want to, hey, I'm going to steal this from you. What's the value there? It's like, seriously, catalytic converters. By the way, you know who pays for that stuff? Let me just go ahead and vent. Now, I have a car that doesn't have a catalytic converter, so I'm good. But you pay for that. Not just your insurance goes up. Maybe, I am venting. Maybe if our politicians would quit being knuckleheads, insurance companies wouldn't quit leaving California. It's like, I wouldn't want to be an insurance in California. Criminals get away with everything. Okay, now I'm mad. But, let's get back to reality. But that's why if our life is tied up in the stuff of this earth, you can lose that. It's not eternal, right? You know, nothing wrong with the stock market, but the stock market could drop. You know, you might put it in, do something, it doesn't work, whatever. But it just gets stolen. There's things you could do to mitigate that. Verse 20. Here's contrast. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt. Come on now. You buy something and it's shiny and new. You know, you get a new car and like, man, the kids can't even breathe in it. You know what I'm talking about? I want to keep that new car smell as long as I can. And then after 3 months, you're letting the bus ministry borrow your car. You know, you put 20 kids in there, you know, and they can eat candy and all that stuff. It's like, why? Because it gets old really fast. That's how we are with things. Things just like that. It's not as important anymore. And where thieves do not break through nor steal. But here's what he says. For where your treasure is, there will your what? Your heart be also. So if, we'll stop here. We'll finish it up next week. So wherever you invest your, whatever you Your heart goes. Whatever you're investing in, that's where your heart's going to go. Right? By the way, those of you, you know who's invested in the building? Those that gave on Sunday. You know, we didn't show it tonight because we didn't have time, but every time we show the missions videos, you know who's interested in the mission videos? Those of you that are invested in missions by your giving. Right? That's how it works. Where you give your money, your heart is going to follow. It's just in. You know, if you're courting somebody, you know, hey, they're nice and sweet and all that stuff. And then when you start investing money, you start throwing down money. It's like, okay, I'm really investing in this thing now. Your heart follows. So that can be a good thing or a bad thing. So if all of your investments, everything with your money and possessions is just of things of this earth and only for you, and it's to the exclusion of God, then that's where your heart's going to be. You're not going to have, you cannot have your heart and your desire and your goals in your life solely on financial or things of this earth, even if it's not financial. That's where your heart's going to be. Reality. But if you're investing in things of eternity, not just giving, how about your time? Serving. How about sharing the gospel? Soul winning. How about encouraging others? You name it. Teaching a Sunday school class. If you're giving to that, your heart's going to be in it. Your heart follows. But in this area of money, don't let your money lead you astray. Choose to put it somewhere where it'll lead you the right way. And we better stop there for tonight. Let's stand together again. And we'll pick it up next time. By the way, I didn't say anything. A lot of the different activities for the summer, our summer is quickly coming upon us. We have not promoted a lot because of the building campaign, but a lot of good things are coming. Hope you see that. I hope you'll get involved with a lot of that. We haven't had our adult sports leagues in a long time. Patch the Pirates starting back up. Our Thursday fellowship. We have a lot of good things. I hope that you'll be with us this summer, and we'll be going over that in a couple weeks. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for loving us. Thank you, Lord, for the word of God. Help us, Lord. All of us have to deal with money. It's a part of life. There's nothing wrong with money. But help us to have the right attitude. Help us to have the right system of handling our money. And Lord, don't help us not to let our money and our possessions come between us and you. Be with us now. Bless us until we meet together again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.